Chicago. This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's Home for Sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Woo! Oh, God! Welcome in to the Captain J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We got Shay, we got Charlie, we got you. On a Hoodwink Tuesday, an opportunity for you to win a Lou Malnati's gift card. Open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. You can Twitch with us every day, brought to you by DraftKings. We appreciate you keeping the conversation going every single day. And Cap, we are still reeling from the loss that the Bears had against the Jets and just trying to figure out what the rest of the season looks like. But the more and more that we watch the Bears, the more and more that people are talking about Justin Fields. Even though he didn't play against the Jets on Sunday, people are still talking about him and are just optimistic about the quarterback position. How rare is that in our city in which, hey, the quarterback's not playing, but the nation is wondering, when he's healthy, what's he going to look like for the future?
So I was listening to Crosstalk yesterday from the Carmen and Yurko radio experience into the Waddle and Sylvie afternoon show. And it was wildly entertaining as Sylvie went right at Yurko. Right at him. It was like a little scat back trying to block the big D lineman coming up the middle.
We just heard from Sylvie last segment.
And Sylvie's point, Yurko's point, is the Bears need to learn how to win. Not just add talent. They have to learn how to win. I understand his point. But I have to side with Sylvie more here. It's a talent thing. Then Tommy and Carm both said, we think we know who our quarterback is. So as you bring up Justin, in my opinion, we have our quarterback. Now, is he going to be the quarterback in 2028? I have no idea. He is going to be the quarterback in 2023, and then you're going to have to make a decision pretty close after that. Am I giving that guy $40 million a year? I would say that you are. If you gave the complete epitome of mediocrity, Jay Cutler, 100 and whatever million we gave him, Justin's getting paid. Getting paid. So I would not, and I've been clear, if the doctors say he's 100%, he's going to play. If the doctors go, he's like 80, we'll put a harness on him, you're done. You are not playing. I think you're with me. Waddle's not. I heard him say it. He needs the reps. I don't disagree that he needs the reps. He's my future. I'm not playing him if he is not 100% or close to it.
There's no reason for him to be out there. I got plenty of film to tell me what he can and cannot do so far in the season. He doesn't have to play for me to make me feel good as a Bears fan. I know what he can do and what he can't do either.
Now the reps are very, very crucial to his development. I'm not disagreeing with that perspective. I do understand that the team needs to learn how to win. But this is a talent thing, first and foremost, on our team. Our offensive line keeps getting banged up. Schofield had to play right tackle because Riley Reiff hurt his ankle. Jenkins has been banged up. Why am I putting Justin out there? And then you have people say, well, why don't you just play Justin and don't let him run? Just drop him back and let's see what we do in the passing game. He will get his ass kicked worse in that situation.
Not with a bad shoulder.
Yes, there is no point on letting pass rushers tee off.
I mean,
no point.
Here's what's interesting. You didn't want to have pass rushers tee off on him when he was healthy.
Correct.
So now with a bad shoulder, he should be out there just to see so we can evaluate further what Justin Fields can and cannot do. I can tell you what he can do is that he can run with the football. I know that he can get the ball down the field. I know that he can connect to the tight end, Cole Kmet. He can get avoid the rush. What he can't do just as of yet on a regular basis is to stand that pocket and be able to make an offense better on a regular basis. There are a number of quarterbacks that can. But Justin's a young quarterback. I'm not going to go down and tell you that Justin Fields, what we see is what we get, because there's growth. It's either growth going the right way or the wrong way. And because we've seen him hit stand the pocket and throw four touchdowns, we've seen him run out of the pocket to be able to get yardage. Those are things he can do. But the thing is, though, Cap, is that if he doesn't play another game for the rest of the season, I understand. Because why put him in harm's way with an inferior offensive line, with inferior weapons? You've seen enough, haven't you, to now, determine whether or not he can be the guy for the future?
Now, what if he was had not suffered the shoulder injury? He was just body banged up like every other football player. I would play him then.
Sure. And I would say that toward the end of the season, maybe that Vikings game, maybe Eberflus would say, okay, you've taken your beating for 16 weeks. That's enough.
Right.
Simeon, get in there. I could see that.
Correct. But if you tell me he has a torn ligament in his shoulder, it was partially separated, and he feels better, and the doctors are like, yeah, we could clear him. There's a difference between being cleared and being close to 100%. He's my future.
Mm-hmm.
So I can do what? Luke out a win over the Lions, the Vikings, the Packers, one of them. I don't believe you're beating the Eagles, whether Justin plays or not.
Correct.
Or the Bills. I completely disagree that he's a football player, he plays. I think that's just stupid meathead thought. Now, the meathead in me, or the meatball in me,
yeah.
I want him to play Sunday and beat the living H out of the Packers. Would love to come in here on Monday and go, take that, Green Bay.
Right.
That would be awesome. The intelligent, smart thing, Justin, love you dearly. You are our future. We are going to build something. Let me go get talent. I'm going to get you better offensive linemen. I'm going to get you receivers that can get some separation. I'm going to get a three technique to help us stop the run. I'm going to try and get some guys that can pressure the quarterback. Let me do my job. I've seen enough from you.
Sure.
That's where I'm at.
Sure. I totally understand that. I think that, again, people are just so enamored with what's new and fresh. What keeps sports going in a cycle, Cap? It's not necessarily the memories from the past.
Mm-hmm.
It's about what's today.
Correct.
And what's next.
Correct.
We look at the NFL and you see over our shoulders and our TVs, yeah, they talk about what's going on in the games, but also they always try to carve out some time for the Bears and Justin Fields. At 6:50, KJM didn't have to talk about Justin Fields, but they felt, you know what, for our ratings and for the good of the Chicago audience, we should have Sylvie on because even though Justin didn't play, we want to know what's the latest, right? So that's what. So even KJM television shows, they just want to know how Justin's doing and what's the future going to look like for the Bears because he's new and fresh. It just shows you people are just enamored with that young man and what he could be in the NFL.
So in listening to Crosstalk yesterday, do you between all the yelling at each other?
Yes.
Do you believe it's more of a talent issue or that team needs to learn how to win? Because I think every team, until they make that step, need to learn how to win. Well, every team does.
Well, hold on. Well, okay. That is the case for most teams.
Mm-hmm.
But this Bears team will not be intact in 2 years.
Agreed. It's going to be radically different.
What are you learning? All those free agents that's going to be out of here in a year or two? What are you learning?
Correct.
Like as much as I love David Montgomery, I think that he is the bee's knees. I was going to use a different term, but I can't use that term.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that every run, Cap, he cares.
He's the apple of your eye.
He cares, mm-hmm. though. He's like, this might be my last carry, but I'm going to get as tough a yardage as possible. It's tangible. When you watch it on the screen, that guy's running hard because he cares. I know he might not be here next year.
right?
As much as I like him, right? You know how much I love Roquan Smith. Watch every down of him at Georgia. And I knew when he wanted to get out of here, I said, he's not going to last here long. And they traded him. So when Tommy says, well, this team needs to learn how to win, what team?
No, that was Yerk who said
Yerk
that.
Yerk said, well, what team? What team?
Right. That's why I'm on Team Sylvie here. If I have to pick one or the other, yes, every team that becomes good has to learn how to win.
Yeah.
They get into games, you're like, how did we lose that game? Because we have to learn how to finish. But this team, this is a talent-deficient team.
Right.
And we haven't heard from Lee Allen in months. And for people that don't know who that is, that's a loyal caller and listener mm-hmm. who I tangled with. He said it was a top five defense, top five special teams, a 10-11 win team. Our guy Bearlissimo. Oh, Nagy's gone. They can win 10-11 ball game. Stop.
Talent.
We've been screaming it since June.
Mm-hmm.
It is a talent deficient organization. That's just a fact, folks. They stink.
I would just disagree with the good kid, and I think that what he says on the surface makes sense, but not just for this roster. What he says is this team needs to learn how to win. Well, look at the roster. Look through that depth chart and tell me who's going to be here in the next couple of years outside of the draft picks.
Right. Jack Sanborn.
Jack Sanborn. 10 years. Quality. He'll have a show here next year.
Bears Probably Hall of Fame, will. Baby.
Shay, he's going to have a show here next year. I'm just calling it right now.
Okay, so.
Number 57.
I mean, if you truly look at the collection of players on the roster.
Yeah, look at the roster. Who's going to be here?
Is Braxton Jones going to be the left tackle next year? I would bet not. I would bet not.
Mm-hmm.
He might be a swing guy. There you go. We've referenced the swing tackle. They need a new center.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to need, let's assume Whitehair's back. They're going to need another guard.
Keep going.
They have Jenkins, so he'll be there. Is Borum starting at right tackle? Riley Reiff won't be here.
No.
Schofield probably won't be here.
Nope.
Equanimeous St. Brown?
Nope.
Darnell Mooney? Yes, probably.
Yep.
Pringle?
Nope.
These
are all bottom. Those are two bottom shelf wide receivers you just named right there.
I want you to, at the break, look up. Mooney's the leading receiver.
Yeah.
He's done for the year. How many catches does our second receiver have?
It's got to be a big gap.
I believe, you could look, I believe it's EQ Brown has 14 catches.
Yeah.
14 catches
mm-hmm. in this NFL.
We're in week 13 now.
It's Cole Kmet with 29.
I'm talking wide receivers.
Okay, then yeah, EQ with 14.
14.
And that's something. You're not very good in the passing game, and then when you are, what kind of yardage are you getting?
Who's going to be on that defensive line that's here now?
All right. Is Gibson around?
I would think.
I don't know.
Travis Gibson. Dominique Robinson, maybe. Remember he got two sacks like the first week?
Haven't heard from him.
Everyone's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Has he been active?
Exactly.
You don't know because he's a fifth round rookie trying to make it. But I'll go off if I start with this. This town, as much or more than any, Patrick Williams sucks. Get him out of here. He's 21. Lauri Markkanen sucks. Bad pick by Garpax. He had 32 last night because we ran him out of town. He's 24 years old.
Yeah, because you want it now, Cap.
Gotta have it now.
Gotta have it now. This is where you are in 2022.
I don't know about this Fields guy.
Yeah.
He's 23.
Yeah.
He's in his second year.
Well, Cap, understand, jobs are on the line. And not only are general managers impatient, but also ownership is more impatient.
Correct.
Because they hear, you know why? The advent of social media.
Yeah.
That's the pressure point right
yep.
there.
No question.
Before it used to be boosters and just people at the bars talking in the town.
Or, correct.
Or the scathing column. What's in the paper today? Oh, God, they want me fired.
Right.
Like, now it's social media on top of that.
When Jim Hendry and Kenny were the GMs.
Mm-hmm.
They used to get a packet every morning because I'd be at the ballpark at 9 a.m. A packet of clips. Here's the clips that reference your team. There'd be like 10 different articles. Oh, my God.
Look at this.
What did the Stay Van Dyke write?
Van Dyke.
Joe Goddard. Yeah.
Kelly Quain.
Right. They're all blasting away. And then you would confront that person. Now, anyone with a Twitter account. Sorry, Musk. Anyway.
Rosner?
Right.
What is he saying there?
We'll get into all of it.
312-332-ESPN is our phone number. All right, coming up next, Cap and I will talk a little bit more about Justin Fields. Fields is being compared to quarterbacks like Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa. Does he belong in that group? We'll talk about this listing that we found from The Athletic, and we'll ask you whether or not Fields belongs in this group that we're going to read for you coming up next. Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10.
Cap. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Captain Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. So glad you're with us here for this Hoodwink Tuesday. Coming up, we will play Hoodwinked, an opportunity for you to win a Lou Malnati's gift card, shot or no shot, at 8 o'clock right here on Chicago's home for sports. So, Cap, in theathletic.com, Mike Sando, one of my favorite writers. The reason why I like Mike Sando is because he's always got tears. Not tears of a clown. I'm talking about, like, quarterback tears. It's my favorite column. Because you get it, and you say, all right, now where's Justin Fields amongst the best, right? Mm-hmm. And then what does he have to climb? Well, he did this one. It says, quarterback future of all 32 NFL teams, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and the not-so-simple scenarios. So they go through this list. There's committed without reservation. Committed without reservation as far as quarterbacks. It's the obvious. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert. That's the category for number one. Number two, committed with some reservations. Deshaun Watson, who we will see Sunday.
Yeah, and when he says that, I didn't get to see it yet. His Deshaun write-up, I saw the other stuff. He's saying committed, but with reservation.
Yeah.
Because they got to find out, is he going to be inappropriate with more masseuses? Talent-wise, there's no reservation there. Right?
Yes. And I told you my thought on a new contract if I'm the Browns. Sorry, you won't be using our masseuses.
Well, no, he can only use their masseuses.
I'm saying if it was me, like, all right, I don't want you in the building for that. Go to your own orchid of whatever.
Orchids of Asia.
Yeah, you go ahead.
I'd be the other way. You are forbidden from going outside the organization for a massage. I don't care if it's at Elizabeth Arden Red Door. You're not going. You can only use our team-approved masseuse. And by the way, it's a man.
Name Hercules.
Correct.
So, man. Oh, God.
Got no one to blame but yourself.
I guess.
Back sore? Not that much. I'm good.
What's the matter, man?
Yep.
Does that feel good? Yeah. Bastard. Anyway, number three, committed and content. Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins. Number four, committed with questions. Committed with questions. Lamar Jackson, Baltimore. Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay. Tom Brady with the Buccaneers. Derek Carr for the Raiders. Ryan Tannehill with Tennessee. Committed with concerns. Kyler Murray. Russell Wilson. Matthew Stafford, evaluating optimistic. Now listen to this, evaluating but optimistic. Jalen Hurts for Philadelphia, Tua Tagovailoa from Miami, Justin Fields of the Bears. It took the Bears six games to adapt their offense to Justin Fields' dual threat abilities. The change has revealed Fields as the most promising quarterback prospect in Chicago for decades. The Bears need to upgrade his weaponry next. He's also in the same category with Geno Smith and Trevor Lawrence. So when we go to that category of evaluating slash optimistic, so Jalen Hurts, Tua, Geno Smith, and Trevor Lawrence, does Justin belong in that category?
Yes.
When I say Justin, you say optimistic evaluating. Is
yes.
that fair?
Yes. I believe he's the guy. I've been clear. I love the pick the night they made it. said that was the most exciting thing in Chicago sports since the Cubs won it in 16.
Mm-hmm.
Still stand by that. Give me something else. Nothing rivals how much excitement that brought immediately. From the moment Carlos walked up and said that my Chicago Bears select Justin Fields, quarterback, Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
We got us a quarterback. The whole deal from Eddie Jackson.
So, what about this?
I'm excited.
I'm excited, too.
But I still have to see him with talent around him.
I'm evaluating him to find out what else he could do besides run with the football and be able to connect to some receivers sometimes. When the running lanes are shut down, what can he do next?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to see. But, again, it's going to take some time for him to learn that. So, you saw the same thing, Shay. Do you agree with this category? Evaluating optimistic. Hurts, Tua, Justin, Geno Smith, Trevor Lawrence. Does Justin belong in that category?
Yes, but I think Jalen and Tua don't. Does that make sense?
So, here's the question. You don't think that Jalen Hurts, you think he's better than just evaluating optimistic?
I think if you're Philly or if you're Miami, at this point, you're no longer evaluating. I mean, Tua, like, what does this guy have left to do? He's leading the NFL in every meaningful passing statistic, seemingly. Jalen Hurts has his team at 10-1. He's been incredible on the ground and great through the air. I think Justin's in the right group. I think it's too much to put him with those other two because they've been two of the top five passers in football this year. I think if you're Miami or you're Philadelphia, you're feeling committed. If you're the Bears, yes, you are still evaluating because you haven't seen enough.
You're not committed, in my opinion, until you pay them.
Mm-hmm.
Like Arizona, they cast their lot with Kyler Murray. Now the reports are he's a jackass in the locker room and doesn't study his heart, all of that. They haven't paid Tua. They haven't paid Jalen Hurts.
Right.
What if Jalen Hurts goes out in the first playoff game they host and loses and looks awful? You know the next that Monday, Philadelphia Sports Radio, WIP, they are going to be, we got to get another guy. He can't do it in the big games.
He's under contract through 2023 and no fifth-year option for 2024.
Because he wasn't a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Correct.
I wonder what the ceiling is for Justin. And again, we don't know until we see more games from him. What if he is Jalen Hurts?
That's really good.
It's not bad, is it?
You think that's really good. There have been a lot of one-year wonders. He looks great.
Weapons around him. He runs like Justin.
Right.
And also can be able to get done with his arm as well now.
You lose that first playoff game and see what they say. I don't know. Maybe he's not a big game guy. He beats up on the weaklings.
It's the right thing to do if you're Philly, though, because Carson Wentz in one hand, Hurts in the other as a young quarterback. I mean, this is what I want for Justin Fields, where no more, you know, veteran quarterbacks over his shoulder hovering to find out if he's going to take Justin's job. It's Justin's job.
But Shay says, oh, he's really... Carson Wentz, till he dove for the end zone and tore his ACL, was going to win the MVP. He was going to be the league MVP. Yeah. They can't... They're so happy they moved on from him. He's on his, what, third team?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't know what the... I got to see him stand back there in a playoff game in inclement weather and find a way to deliver the football.
Okay, but if we're going the hypothetical route, then my point on this is we're looking at Jalen Hurts right now, and Philly right now is going to give him another contract because he's playing at an MVP level.
That's correct. Like,
that's the way it is. So if Fields becomes what Jalen Hurts is right now, that's very good. That's my point.
Correct. But Philly hasn't given him that contract yet. I'm sure they're going to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure he's going to be worthy of it. He's got weapons and O-line, the whole deal. Run game. All I'm saying to you is, until they have the pen on the paper, I understand. Optimistic. What was the...
Evaluating optimistic.
Yeah. I'm evaluating optimistic. Okay. Season's over. We got to the Super Bowl or we got to the NFC. Here you go, Jalen. There's your contract.
Now, let's flip it and talk about Tua in the same situation, right? Miami, this is the most relevant that Miami's been going into December in like 20 years.
Correct.
The Joe Philbins and all, you know, all the guys that they've hired in the past, just nonsense, right?
Are you convinced?
Cam Cameron.
He's had a great year.
Yeah.
Are you convinced he's going to stay healthy and that he's the guy?
I do think part of it is the fact that because those quarterbacks are so cheap right now, they can afford to put a lot of stuff around them. And when the Bears ultimately do that next year with the cheap quarterback that they will have, that's when you can really start the evaluation process.
Yeah. Once you write that check, look how much Kansas City hasn't won since they paid Mahomes. They've been elite, and he's amazing. Look how much talent walked out that door.
Right.
A lot of it.
Some thoughts from Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's on the Ryan Rizzo podcast about Justin Fields. Listen to the comps from Lamar and Hurts when it comes to Fields.
Yeah, I mean, we had the game in Chicago this year when me and Richard Sherman are banging our heads against the desk. Like, what, you know, Luke Getsy came from Green Bay, and they are running Green Bay's offense with Justin Fields and trying to make him a drop back pocket passer. And you sit there and you watch how dynamic of a runner this guy is. I mean, it is Lamar Jackson, Justin Fields, Jalen Hurts, and everybody else, basically. And Josh Allen's in there, too.
How about that? Good company.
Good company. Good company.
Mm-hmm. Dual threat quarterbacks.
Correct. So I like now get him some there. Freaking talent.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's interesting. There's more on Justin Fields we'll talk about later on as we move forward throughout the show. But now we got to hook you up with a Lou Malnati's gift card. Caller 4, regular line, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776, our phone number. Play Hoodwink with us next on Cap and Jay Hood.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app. All right, Cap and Jay Hood listeners, who's ready for a story? Sit back and relax as Jonathan Hood regales you with tales of frivolity. Did it really happen?
We have been hoodwinked.
Who knows?
Bamboozled, led astray.
Who cares? Be prepared to be
run amok and flat out deceived.
Hoodwinked.
We don't get fooled again.
Captain J Hood, morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Here on this Hoodwink Tuesday, an opportunity for you to win Lou Malnati's pizza. Ah, it is the very best. We always give you the very best on Tuesdays. Cap, there's nothing like Lou Malnati's. Right at the top shelf when it comes to pizza.
The best. We actually brought some frozen ones on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife cooked them up down there. Oh, my God. It was nice.
So we will have our contestant. And by the way, still to come, some thoughts about the White Sox. Changes are happening over there at 35th and Vec. We'll talk about it momentarily here on Cap and Jay Hood. Billy in Berwyn is with us on Cap and Jay Hood for Hoodwink. Good morning, Billy.
What's up, boys? Good morning.
Billy, what's happening?
Oh, everything. Lovely day.
It is a lovely day. You know why? Because we are going to hook you up with Lou Malnati's. But you've got to get past me for Hoodwink. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right, you could use Cap as a lifeline. Of course, you have your own thoughts. You listen very closely, Billy. And again, you know, you have Cap if you need him. But, Billy, I'm pretty sure you can get this one.
Billy, we'll do this together, kid. Don't let him dissuade you from you and I conspiring to beat him again.
Let's do it, Cap.
Let's do it.
I just don't want to hear, I agree, Cap. No question about it. I want you to have your own mind, Billy, because after all, it is Cap. You never know. He is, if nothing else, a fountain of misinformation. We go now to Billy now for so there's three things. There's three things for Thanksgiving that was on my table. Two things actually were on my Thanksgiving table. One is not true. I'm going to try to hoodwink you. You ready? All right.
Yep.
On my Thanksgiving table on Thursday, it was potato salad, dressing or stuffing for some, or green bean casserole. One thing I would just won't eat that was on the Thanksgiving table. Which one didn't I eat? Potato salad, dressing or stuffing, or green bean casserole?
I'm going to say,
okay.
Wow, I'm going to say potato salad, but that almost seems too easy.
Two truths and a lie.
Okay, so hold on. So, Jay Hood, you're saying that one of those things you would not eat, you would not touch, correct?
Yes, that's right. That was on the table that I would not eat at all, ever.
I mean, I'm leaning green beans.
Yeah, I'm leaning that way too, because it seems too easy that it would be potato salad. Who the hell puts potato salad on a Thanksgiving
table? Also, like, when I hear potato salad, I'm thinking, like, you know, potato salad, you get it like a cookout.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
And I could see a young Jonathan Hood having a burger, a brat, a dog, whatever, and potato salad. But I could see him also looking at the green bean casserole, which is nasty, by the way, with the almonds on it and all that, and going, ugh, no shot.
I'm really leaning green beans here.
Yeah, it's your call. I'm with you.
I'm gonna go green beans, Jay Hood.
All right, you're locking it in, Billy.
Final answer.
All right, I mean Cap's kind of leading you. I mean, you don't have your own mind.
I did not lead him.
That's okay.
Actually, I feel like Cap initially tried to lead me the other way, right?
Well, I said potato salad, and then I thought, that's too easy. I'm going to go with Billy on this.
You got to have dressing. Got to have the stuff. I know in some homes it's called stuffing.
We have it, but I'm not a fan, so I don't eat it.
Love that, especially when it's done right.
I will just tell you, Thanksgiving food is the most overrated meal of the year.
That's fine.
I don't know. I feel like when it comes to food, I don't know that I'm leaning your direction regardless. No offense.
Oh, my God. You have no idea my foodie abilities.
I feel like I have a general idea, yeah.
Soda, say it with me now. Stay of the art. So dressing, for sure. Also, what's actually pretty healthy, the green bean casserole. I hate potato salad. Take that.
Is that really? Right?
Yeah. So, sorry, Billy.
Billy, hold on a second. I actually slept with the marketing person from Malnati's last night. Hold on. I'm going to get you that gift card anyway. I should have been better.
All right, Billy. Thanks so much.
Last night, I thought you were in a good mood today.
Yes, that's correct. All right, hook him up. I'll take care of that.
312-332-3776 is our telephone.
Bouncing my stuff this morning.
Oh, well, good. And why is that, Cap?
I get to work with you.
Yeah, and then what about last night? Is there a reason for the bounce? Because there was a bounce in your step last night?
Just had a fun evening.
Mm. Bulls, parlay?
Bulls won.
Uh-huh. And after that, what?
I hit my teaser with the
Is that what you call
Steelers.
It? Steelers. Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
A teaser? Okay.
Yeah.
You teaser. Is that what you did? That's good. It's always good to do that.
It's good for me.
Come in. What about her?
I think so.
Sleep. That's it. Sleep.
Wake me when you're done.
Shot or no shot, coming up at 8 o'clock. Coming up next, some changes at 35th and Vec. All my heart weeps. Next on Cap and J-Hood.
Cap J-Hood.
Follow him on Instagram at Cap J-Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Got Shot or No Shot coming up at 8 o'clock. Also, we'll hear from our guy Albert Breer. We'll talk to him about the Bears in the NFL coming up. Must listen to Albert Breer at 8:35 right here on Chicago
Sports. The salty Albert Breer.
He can be salty at times.
He was mad about Ohio State getting pounded.
Yes. Are you going to bring that up or should I?
Oh, I'll be glad to.
Oh, my God. He's going to be in a bad mood.
Albert, did you guys now drop down to, like, the Poulan Weed Eater Bowl?
One loss in that conference is devastating.
Right.
It is, for sure. Cap, as you know, we like to be able to check off the personal when it comes to our show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the sports news, but also personal. What's personal to me, as you well know, the number one team in the city for me is the Chicago White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
Grew up 20 minutes from the ballpark, Comiskey Park. The White Sox... Just, you know, I'm just a huge fan. It's the number one team for me. And when you have one of the pillars no longer part of the team, you say, man, you know, you're going to miss that guy. But you know what, Cap? I was braced for what happened with Jose Abreu. I was braced because you helped me through this throughout the season. When we saw this team teeter-tottering around 500, underachieving grossly last year, you know what? And you got me to say it. there's going to be some popular players that just won't be around here anymore.
Yeah. We saw the first domino fall yesterday.
And so I'm going to miss Jose Abreu, but I understand why he's no longer here. Money aside, you just need to have some change. And actually, you need more change with this White Sox team.
Well, the other thing is, would you have given him $60 million guaranteed? I would not have.
I understand. That guy was the Paul Konerko of this generation.
Mm-hmm.
He just was. And, does he speak English? I think some. And I think that it would resonate with some of the people in the locker room. But I think that because of a Latin-heavy roster that the White Sox have, that he led through his native tongue that way, I believe.
He's a hell of a player, man. They went at Houston. Look, Houston's in a different place. The White Sox are trying to remake on the fly. They got a lot of talent. The Cubs are trying to get to respectability again. The Astros went after Rizzo, and they didn't get him. He said, I'm staying in New York.
Yeah.
So their next choice they pivoted to was Jose Abreu. They're the defending world champs, and they got a lot of talent.
Flexibility again for a guy that could play first base or DH. Abreu would be great for Houston, but I'll miss Abreu with the White Sox. I'm sure when his career is done, he'll be back in the Sox organization in one way, shape, or form. He's a White Sox.
You would think.
That's who he is.
Correct.
I don't care where else he goes, he's a White Sox.
And he's a great dude. Like, we would get there to do shows, he'd be in the dugout. And while you're not going to have a long-term conversation with him because of
the language
barrier. Mm-hmm. He would come up, cop. Hello, cop. Just a nice man. We would chit-chat about whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He just has a cool demeanor to be around.
I liked him on the team. When the chips were down and you needed someone to just give you a key base hit, just hit by pitch, played first base solidly. You know how you age that position, Cap, when you're a bigger guy,
mm-hmm.
like Frank. Man, he couldn't do the 3-6-3 anymore because he didn't have the arm strength or the ability to get it to second base. It would fly in the left field. It's like, all right, Frank, you're a DH now.
Right.
Because you can't feel the position like you used to.
Well, you had so many injuries.
But then Jose could still do it, though. He was not just a good hitter, but also I just think that he was a bright personality in this team. We can look at all the landscape of Chicago sports and say, you know, who gets the last seat at the table at Chicago Cut? Is it Patrick Kane? Is it Tim Anderson? Is it, you know, we go down the line. But Abreu would be in line to get that because he's meant so much and been with the White Sox for such a long time.
That was a great topic we did with Chicago current athlete.
Yeah.
If there was one table left at Chicago Cut, we're completely full. We got one table. And the biggest stars in town showed up. Who's getting it?
Yeah.
Sports.
Many people said Patrick Kane.
He's probably still the correct answer. Mm-hmm. Justin would certainly be in that discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Jose Abreu, when he was here, absolutely would be on that list.
So, I mean, hats off to Jose for a fine career with the White Sox. We'll miss that leadership. And as Cap first reported, Daniel Greenberg first reported that Andrew Vaughn would more than likely be the first baseman for the White Sox now. And hey, his bat in the lineup every day is fine with me.
Yeah, and he's at his natural position. He won't get worn down by playing right field where he doesn't belong. He's a first baseman.
That's what he is.
Right.
Along with a bunch of first baseman DHs on this roster.
And he can hit.
That shouldn't be the end, by the way. That's one chip, but it. You want to change the fortunes, that's one thing. And let's get to the other part of it, too, because we talked about this morning before we came on the air about Clevinger. So Clevinger is now part of the starting rotation for the White Sox,
mm-hmm.
coming off of Tommy John.
Mm-hmm.
Remember him with the Cleveland Guardians, and there was some controversy around his name when he was here in Chicago as a Guardian, correct?
Correct. During the 2020 pandemic-shortened 60-game season. So when they got taken to the hotel on the road, the teams, they were on lockdown. You cannot leave the hotel. And then they would take him to the bus. They would take him from the bus to the stadium. Like, they were on lockdown.
Yes.
He and Zach Plesac snuck out and went to a friend's home for dinner in the Chicago suburbs,
mm-hmm.
and got caught sneaking back in. And they made those two drive back to Cleveland. They wouldn't let him on the plane for fear. They had Carlos Carrasco who was a cancer survivor, like the year before, it had leukemia. They're like, nope, you're not getting on the plane with us. And then didn't they send one of them to the minors?
That's correct.
And they, I think, Plesac. And then they traded Clevinger. Mm-hmm. He wanted to go to the White Sox. They traded him to San Diego. He's coming off four outstanding seasons. He blew out. Tommy John missed all of 21. 22, he was 4.29 ERA. Mm-hmm. Well, now he's 2 years out of Tommy John. He gets to pick where he wants to go. He's a free agent. He signs a one-year, what they call, pillow contract to rebuild his value. $12 million. I think it's a tremendous signing.
So, Shay, the way I look at it as a Sox fan, that's your fifth starter. Whatever you get out of Clevinger is fine. I'm going to miss Cueto. Cueto, well, he kept you in a lot of ball games with his cutting and guile. He came to the ballpark not with a lot, but when he did, he gave you what he had. So we're going to miss Cueto on the south side. But Clevinger comes in for a one-year deal. You say $13 million cap?
12.
$12 million. Is that a bad signing, Shay?
I mean, I don't know if it's a bad signing. I think you're both right in saying that what you get out of him is what you get out of him. If he's good, then maybe you keep him long term. If he's bad, it's kind of low risk because it's just the 1 year. But my question is, what does that signing do towards getting you to a World Series? Because I'm under the understanding that's the goal. And I don't think Clevinger moves you towards that. I don't know what's going on the south side.
Why does he not? You need another starter.
What if? Because he might be bad. Not everybody comes back from injury good. He might be bad.
Justin Verlander is going to be 40. He might stink, too, on a new deal.
You know what? I thought that Cueto would be bad, too. And he just kept you. Maybe he wasn't overly impressive to you, Shay, but I just thought for a fifth starter, he was an innings eater. I like that. And I don't know if Clevinger could do that.
I don't know that he can, especially with what we saw last year. He only played about half the season. He wasn't great in the outings that he was there. He looked like he really struggled to get back to form. I don't know that he's going to go out and eat 170 innings. I don't think that that's the guy you're going to get. If you do, great. Then I'm wrong and wonderful. But I just don't understand how they're moving towards a World Series with signings like these.
Giolito's still around the ball club, huh?
Yeah. So far. We'll see. But I'm literally stunned at Shay's response about Mike Clevinger. Mike Clevinger, 2019, 13-4 with a 2.71. 2018, 13-8 with a 3.03. 2017, 12-6 with a 3.11.
Remember,
top five pitchers in the game.
Remember two segments ago when you talked about Carson Wentz was going to win MVP before he blew his knee?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Life comes at you fast, man. I don't know. He's 32 years old. He was really good, but coming back from the injury, he does not look right at all. I don't think it's just getting back your arm.
Question for you guys is, if this is the move.
Yes, Charlie.
Like, if this is all they do, is that okay?
No, it's not okay.
That's not all they're doing.
No, but he asked the question. It's not okay. But Charlie asked this question, and you tell me if I'm wrong, Charlie, because at the deadline, when the White Sox didn't do anything, they did very little to try to bolster their offense, did nothing to try to get left-handed hitting.
Mm-hmm.
He's asking, is this all that the Sox could be doing? Well, you have to be wary of that based on what we saw at the deadline.
And I disagree with you. I did that, and I still do now. Would you rather Rick Hahn had traded away, pick the asset in the minor leagues, Oscar Colas, or who's the shortstop? The really good shortstop you have in the minor league. Would you rather he have traded his few minor league assets?
Uh-huh.
Lenin Sosa's another guy.
Yeah.
Would you rather he have traded those assets to get whatever it is you needed? Another starter, a bullpen arm.
Left-handed bat.
A bat, and gone. We fell short again, and now we gave up our assets.
Yeah, effort. Yeah.
I would not.
Would you stand pat? And just go 81-81? I mean, you got to try, though, Cap. They didn't even try.
Because I think he realistically looked in the mirror and went, This is on me. We did not have a good enough roster. I am not going to squander my assets for a team that can't win it.
All right. And so now, because of that, this is the offseason where you need to make some splashes.
That's a different argument. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I can't do anything about this past season. I'm unhappy with 81-81 after you've been in the playoffs twice. But this is the year that you need to make a splash.
Well, you just let him hire his manager. Let's be clear. He looked like he was at a hostage situation when he was there to announce Tony La Russa.
Yeah.
This is his manager. It's his roster. Let him do his deal.
Shot or no shot in 2 minutes on Cap and J Hood.